Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, and welcome to Inside Scoop Live. Thanks for tuning in. I'm your host, Juanita Watson. And today I brought to the program Dr. Jerry Bergner. He is the author of the new novel, Desert Journey. Dr. Bergner's life has been as interesting as it has been varied. He has a PhD in human learning and has worked in schools, mental health organizations, and as a forensic psychologist for the Department of Corrections. Jerry says his life experiences are as equally important as his work in education. He has skydived more than 1,400 times, has clocked 3,000 hours flying airplanes and helicopters. He scuba dives, rappels, and is an avid motorcycle rider. Jerry also trains horses, riding them in the Midwest as well as the desert Southwest. Throughout his life, a dominant theme has been studying and exploring relationships, which happens to be his key focus in Desert Journey. So I am so happy to have Dr. Bergner on the program. Welcome to Inside Scoop Live.
Well, thank you, Juanita. It's a pleasure to be here.
Well, so Jerry, is this your first book?
Yes, it is. It's my freshman work, so yes, it's my first book.
Well, so that's amazing because as far as I understand, you have already been recognized for an award?
Yes, my book qualified for, it was one of the finalists for an Indie Award as Best in New Age Publication, so I was really proud about that.
Congratulations.
Well, thank you.
That's really amazing for a first work. How, I have to ask you, you've had such a varied life, and I know I probably just skimmed the surface in that little bio. So how did you actually come to write a book?
Well, Juanita, I've felt the pressure, and I guess I should say the need to write this book for a very long time. Whenever I met Tom, this guy that I talk about in the book, one of the things that he said was a requirement for me to study with him was that I write what it is I've learned from these experiences. And again, I know that's fictionalized, but in reality, the people who have guided me and have taught me have basically explained that my sharing my experiences with others to help them was the price of admission. So I felt this need to write for a long time, and I put it off, and finally enough pressure was brought to bear that I decided it would just be easier to write the book than continue to have the pressure to write.
So when did you actually put pen to paper or get on your laptop? I don't know how you do it these days.
Actually, laptop. And I started about 2.5 years ago.
Okay.
And whenever I went out to Arizona, I go out to Arizona on a regular basis now, and I spend 2 to 5 months out there. And while I was out there, there's a different set of pressures that happen out there. I know it's starting to sound kind of mystical, but this need to write, this need to talk about what's happened and what I felt and the experiences I've had just became stronger and stronger. And so about 2 years ago, I started to start writing.
Mm-hmm.
And the first book in particular, I think, took more work because it is writing a work of fiction is a new experience for me, quite a bit different than writing a technical journal for a manual.
Yeah, definitely. So it sounds like to keep the energy flowing in your life, you needed to put this book out.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
So we're kind of talking about the autobiographical aspect of this book. So I know that Desert Journey is you have a very strong connection with the story in this book, but it is a fiction. So tell us, if you can, what's truth and what's fiction?
that's a very good question.
Uh-huh.
Well, actually, the names have been changed to protect the innocent.
Yeah, right.
But it's, in fact, very much autobiographical. In the start of the story, I talk about some of my early experiences when I learned to skydive and when I was going to college and some of the beginning of the mystical experiences that I was able to experience. I was blessed by experiencing early in my life. So they're all real. The journey's all real. The tests are all real. The failures in relationships are all real. In fact, honestly, Juanita, that was the hardest part was to talk about the many relationships I've been involved in and the failures with them.
Mm-hmm.
It's kind of tough to be honest and to bare your soul in front of, hopefully, a large number of people. And so mm-hmm. that was probably one of the harder things for me to do.
Mm-hmm. I bet it was. But at the same time, really, we can all relate. I mean, I don't know anybody that hasn't had, you know, a problematic relationship or a string of relationships. So I think that's a very relatable aspect to this book.
Well, I think that's part of why I wrote it is, well, that was a really good question, Juanita. And relationships, I think, are important to everybody. I think everybody wants to know when they'll find that one special someone that they can relate with. And also, people who are with somebody, is that the right person? And then the other group is, why is my relationship not working? So everybody has those kinds of questions. And I felt like with my experience and all the different relationships I've had, I thought I might be able to help those that are struggling with relationships. In fact, I like to joke, because of the number of times I've been married and how many people I've been involved with, I feel like I have a postgraduate degree in relationships.
That's great. Well, tell us how you actually started on your own personal journey of self-discovery and having the more spiritual kind of a context to it.
Actually, I think my personal journey started many lifetimes ago, but the one that I became aware of in this lifetime happened very much whenever I was a little kid, whenever I began to think that there was more to what we were being told about God and about spirituality than that. And I began to feel like there was more to life. There's more to what's happening around, being aware of almost, I want to say, the voices. But the nice thing about being a psychologist, I can say I hear voices and people can't tell me I'm crazy.
Mm-hmm.
But literally the voices inside your head that say, this is what you need to do. This is where you need to go.
Mm-hmm.
These are the experiences you need to have and the people you need to meet. And I know in my book I talk a lot about past life regression.
Mm-hmm.
Well, at a very early age, I had a number of experiences of been there and done that.
Oh, okay.
And it was just more than, well, this place looks familiar. This place feels very familiar.
So in your waking life?
Oh, yes.
Yeah,
okay. Waking life, very familiar. I've been here before.
Mm-hmm.
I've seen this. And the more accepting I found myself to be of that, the more pronounced those feelings became. And so I literally just kind of grew into that role of a spiritual seeker. Well, I don't know if grew is the right word. I think I was pushed into that role.
Mm-hmm.
And it's something that felt well, felt like it was a good fit, and I just continued with it. But because of those experiences, I know there's a lot of people out there that are spiritual seekers and maybe looking for a little direction here, a direction there, or a push in the right way. And hopefully they can learn something from it and not make some of the same mistakes I did.
Ah, okay. So tell us then about Jerry in your book. And, I mean, if this is just a complete parallel with your own life, so where he's at in the beginning of Desert Journey, and then what kind of happens to him or to you in this in this story?
Good. Well, Jerry in the book was, a middle-aged man whose life was rocked by another failed relationship. And again, I say another failed relationship, and decided, well, I want to go out to the desert Southwest. Some friends had told me about how pretty it was out there. So I rode out there in my horse trailer with living quarters and started riding by myself. Now, here's where the part of the book is a bit more fictionalized. While out riding on a mountaintop, I run into this man named Tom, who
mm-hmm.
is an ageless Indian, who frightened me and also intrigued me at the same time. And after reluctantly, and I do mean reluctantly, beginning a conversation with him, I quickly begin to find out that Tom, my guide, has a very unique perspective of life and may even have the answers to the life questions I've been seeking. So Tom eventually agrees to be my teacher after I told him two things. I said my goals in life were, first of all, to be happy, and second of all, more importantly, to learn the lessons that life had chosen for me for this one lifetime. And Tom agreed to be my teacher. And the caveat he gave, though, was be careful what you ask for. You just might get it.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that would be one of the central things that I've learned in my spiritual studies is you got to be very careful what you ask for, because the lessons aren't always fun. They're sometimes very harsh, but they're what we need to experience to become a more complete being.
Mm. Hmm. So Tom, then, is a fictional person, but is this in your own life, is he more of a guide that is with you but not in that form of a Native American, or is this your higher self, or how would you characterize the Tom in your real life?
Tom takes on a couple forms, Juanita. Sometimes he's an actual physical person. The man I talk about in the book, the one who taught me how to skydive and ended up being my best friend, was at time the Tom in my life. He had a tremendous impact on me, and he literally, from the point of meeting him to the point where he died 5 years later, had a tremendous impact. It was a pivot point. My life was going a direction prior to meeting him, and after that, it took about a 45-degree turn.
Mm.
But Tom also is in the form of my friends and the things they say to me and the spiritual things I learn from them. But there is also that voice in my head that is Tom.
Mm.
And this book literally was dictated by Tom.
Wow.
And I really just wrote what they told me to write.
Mm-hmm.
And I did my best to put it in the form that they wanted to put it in. And so I really think that I am the author in the fact that I wrote it, but I'm not the author in the fact that I was writing down things that I was told to write down.
Do you think we all have that capacity to experience something like that in our life, that kind of a powerful force?
Absolutely. Everybody that comes into this lifetime, especially when they first come into that lifetime, has that strong connection to spirit. And that's why when you look in the eyes of a newborn baby and you see that innocence and that purity and that love. But when we come into this life, I think the veil from the past life has been pulled really tight, and for some specific reasons. And so we quickly lose that ability to connect with those past lives and with the spiritual experiences. And those that raise us, the teachers, the parents, the significant others, will, you know, they've already shut that part of themselves down. And so when they do that, they are frightened by us talking about the people who talk to us, the guides that we hear or the things that we see. And so they'll tell us, that's not real. That's just your imagination. And it's not long before we buy into that, because that's how we fit into this world. Everybody's frightened by something different.
Mm-hmm.
And so if, you know, you approach someone with a different idea or a different perspective that doesn't feel comfortable to them, they're going to want to put you back into a mold of something that they feel better about.
Mm-hmm.
And so, yes, I think everybody's born with it, and everybody can reacquire it. But part of the reacquiring is sometimes by reading a book like Desert Journey, where you get knocked off dead center a little bit, and you think, wow, I wonder if that's real. I wonder if that's possible. And then after considering it, you really begin to listen to those inner experiences instead of denying them, accepting them.
Ah, I think that you touched on a really good point about novels like this, the more sort of spiritual self-help fiction genre. I mean, there's a very unique power to these books to kind of wake people up and put that spark there. And there seems to be an increasing amount of authors that are writing in this form. So I just would like to maybe hear your thoughts on the power of this kind of genre, maybe a little further, and if there's any books that you've read that have sparked you in that way.
Mm-hmm. And I think you're exactly right, Juanita. I think the Earth is growing, and even though we read in the paper here in the news about people killing other people, for the general generally speaking, I think our world is growing and becoming more spiritual. And because of that, then people are aware of this longingness that they have for relationships. And when I say relationships, I think, and that's part of what I'm kind of giving you a taste of what number two is about, book number two, is we often confuse our desire for a relationship with spirit or a relationship with another human being.
Mm-hmm.
Because they're very similar. They feel very much alike.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, there's this push, there's this need. I need to understand how I fit better. I need to find a stronger connection with spirit. And yes, there's a number of books that I've read that I just absolutely love. Mutant Message Down Under by Marla Maples.
Oh, yes.
Richard Bach, Illusions,
mm-hmm.
is my absolute all-time favorite book.
Mm-hmm.
And books of that genre, I think, do push us to question what we've been taught in schools and in the churches and by our parents that, you know, there is much more above and beyond this reality,
that we're walking in right now. Mm-hmm. Dream states are incredible. Mm-hmm. My dreams are very vivid. I talk about the dreams in the books and the power of those dreams, and they can be something that you could ignore, or it can be a tremendous tool to help you grow with spirit.
So interesting. And I like that you are really talking about exploring the idea of relationships and how it's through relationships that, I mean, it's kind of one of the keys to a spiritual journey. And mm-hmm. sometimes I think we can, or people can get very isolated in their spiritual practices and not really emphasize that relationships are a huge part of that. So that's interesting that you go in that direction. And mm-hmm. is that from something you've learned or from your own experiences?
Both. Both.
Mm-hmm.
Because, again, you know, the desert journey is where I was 5 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
The book that I just have completed and should have in publication this fall is Return to the Desert, is where I was a year and a half ago.
Okay.
And the third book, the third one in the trilogy, is Beyond the Desert, I Am Living Now. And it's I think, an agreement that I made when I come into this life, that you'll be given unusual experiences, you'll face people and meet people that will give you unique perspective. But again, the price of admission is you must write about it.
Mm-hmm.
And I writing's difficult.
Yeah.
Especially writing something so personal.
Yes.
There's a struggle about how truthful do I want to be about how bad I screwed up this relationship or how I behave. And again, the voice says, you better tell it like it is, because if you don't, then you may have to rewrite it or redo it, because that's what's required of you.
Just complete authenticity.
Complete authenticity. And that's tough, Lonnie.
That's really
tough. Like on this radio show, it's really tough to disclose some of the things that you'd rather not have done.
Yeah, I'm sure.
And we'll be back with more Inside Scoop Live after these important announcements.
Established in 1998, Rebecca's Reads is a book review and publicity service serving a large reading audience, as well as a wide community of authors, publishers, publicists, and buyers and sellers. They offer reviews of recently published books, as well as chapter readings, teasers, and videos to help you decide what book you would like to read next. Their insightful author interviews take connecting reader and author one step further, and if you decide you would like to purchase a book, an easy-to-navigate link will allow you to purchase the book immediately online. For the authors, publicists, and publishers, Rebecca's Reads has a variety of publicity services to help them market their books to their reading audience. Their services are budget-friendly and effective. For buyers and sellers, they have a monthly list of current reviews in the Book Review Index for easy browsing, as they know your time is precious and efficiency is a priority. Be sure to visit RebeccasReads.com and browse around their new space. Whatever your literary need, this user-friendly website may be just what you're looking for. Welcome back to Inside Scoop Live. Just to remind you, I'm talking today with Dr. Jerry Bergner. He is the author of Desert Journey, and you can find out more about Jerry through his website, creatingthebest.com. So have any of your friends read this book and made any comment to you, like, I never knew, or I'm so shocked, or anything like that?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Absolutely. But, you know, that's one of the other things, that spirit moves in really interesting ways. I've had some friends that I thought they're just the antithesis of spiritual, and they really won't get this book. They really won't understand what it is I'm saying. And they're the ones who came up and say, wow, your book moved.
Mm-hmm.
My then 15-year-old daughter, when she was reading it, would just, and I'd write a chapter, and she'd say, can I have it, Dad? Can I have it, Dad? Let me read the chapter.
Mm.
And she said, Dad, this is life-changing for me.
Wow.
But one other thing that I think what I thought was really interesting is when I wrote this book and I reread the book, I would in my mind think, this is the most important message. This is the key. This is the crux. This is the thing that people are going to need the most. But when I would get the reviews back, it would be some obscure point that I made that I didn't even remember saying. They'll say, that's what moved me.
Oh.
And so I decided, well, the smartest thing for me to do is just back away from it.
Mm-hmm.
Back away from the purpose of I did my job by writing the book.
Mm-hmm.
It's between the person who reads it and spirit what they get out of it, and they'll get out of it what they need. And
mm-hmm.
that's not up for me to decide.
A lot of times a book like this, and I imagine yours most definitely, on a second read or a third read or a fourth read, someone would pick something out differently. You know, it would speak to
mm-hmm.
them in a different way. Because every time you read a book like that, you know, the reader is a little farther on in their life, in their own journey, and their own discovery process.
One of the things that was very interesting in the edit process, I'll put the words on paper. I'll just literally take the dictation, and I try not to put my critical self in there, and I just type, and I just type, and I just type. And then I have to come back, and I got to look at grammar and syntax and missing words and flow.
Mm-hmm.
And the biggest problem I had, Juanita, is I would get so wrapped up in the story and the message that I would miss words. And Desert Journey may have some typos in it. In fact, I'm sure it does.
Mm.
And part of that is because I was just getting the message out. This
yeah.
is the message that I was told to write. And when I read it, let's go, wow, wow. Oh, wow, I get that. So
yeah. It
was written for me almost.
Yeah, so interesting. Those kinds of works can surprise you, most definitely.
Mm-hmm.
So tell us how you got into the whole idea of past life regressions. I mean, obviously this has been something you've been experiencing for years, and it's really, you've incorporated into your life today. So
mm-hmm.
how did that all begin?
Well, really, it began a long time ago. Like I said, I would have those deja vu kinds of experiences
mm-hmm.
where, you know, I would be someplace or see something, and it would come back to me that I've been here. One of the more vivid ones was when I was traveling in Spain, and I was standing on a parapet, which is a wall of, you know, with the different points up there, and I put my hands on the wall, and I remembered being there.
Mm-hmm.
I remembered being there. I could feel a sword by my side, on my side. I could feel holding a spear, and I knew that the Saracens were coming, and they were going to probably overrun our fort, and that we probably weren't going to survive. And it was as vivid an experience as remembering what I had for breakfast this morning.
Mm.
And so I really decided to go into more formal training and use of past lives, and hypnosis is a very good technique
mm-hmm.
for doing that. So I started exploring hypnosis and past life regression, and found it to be incredibly powerful for unlocking the keys to the past.
Mm-hmm.
But you know, Juanita, one of the things that's typical of most of us is when we do a regression or look at a past life, we automatically think, I must have been somebody famous.
Right.
I must have been the President Washington or Lincoln
yeah.
or Joan of Arc or whatever.
Yeah, it's a very romanticized version.
Yeah, but in reality, most lives are spent, lived very commonly
yeah.
with just specific lessons or purposes that you needed. But now here's the flip of that. In my past life regression, I vividly recalled something very awful I did to someone very important to me. In fact, it was Tom.
Mm.
And I don't want to divulge that. I'd let the reader, I don't want to ruin the surprise for the reader, but
yeah.
that was a true memory of what I did. It was a terrible, awful thing.
Mm.
And so I remember back to that quote Tom said, be careful what you ask for, you just might get it.
Mm. How interesting. So we can't obviously talk about past lives then without mentioning karma, which is kind of what you're alluding to, right? So how then do you see karma playing out in your life today? And how can, maybe if you can give others an idea of how that may be playing out for them?
Mm-hmm. Well, I think karma is the natural cause and effect for everything we do when we're with somebody, good, bad, or indifferent. Even sometimes whenever we're wishing that we could do something really nice for somebody, or I guess an analogy I would make is, and this is in the book, I was talking about that thing where the little girl is walking along the beach and she finds these starfishes washed up, and so she'll throw one over, and this man said, there's thousands of them. You know, you can't save them all. She goes, no, but I could save that one.
Mm.
Well, now that's one point away is to look at that. But another point to look at that is, what if that starfish had chosen for that lifetime to be washed up on the beach and to die and needed that experience to become a more complete being, a more complete part of spirit? And maybe not something quite as radical as the example that I use, but the point of it is everything that's done in this lifetime has to be done with care. And so often we say, like I have a 17-year-old daughter, and I might say, well, gosh, I hope her life is easy and she doesn't have the stress or the difficulty or problems. And a friend of mine said, are you sure you want that? Wouldn't it be better if she had those experiences she needs, the problems she needs, so that she too has an opportunity to learn and become a more complete part of spirit? And I thought, wow, that makes total sense.
Mm.
So with the karma thing, you know, karma-free is balance, a balanced life, you know, where you're not taking control of someone else. You're not doing harm to someone. But then even when you do good for someone, it should be done without attachment.
Mm.
For example, if I give you something, it's yours to do with as you choose. If I find that you need a new microwave and you're very poor and I give you my microwave, but you give it away to somebody else, I shouldn't resent that because the gift was given for you to use however you choose. But that's a tough way to live life. I mean,
yeah.
That takes the thought, and I think that's often what happens with those of us in our life. We go through life thoughtless.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe my book will at least provoke thought so that they'll... And again, jumping back to like the past lives, I think, Juanita, it changes your perspective. Even if you consider the remote possibility of past lives, think how that would change the way you look at life.
Right, and everything you do.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Well, for example, a relationship just ended. Oh, my God, it's a tragedy. But if you look at that event in the big scheme of things, it's just a chapter in this lifetime. But you know what? It's just a footnote in your total existence.
Mm-hmm.
So something that we've made terribly important and, oh, my God, I should kill myself or I should do this because of this terrible event, you look back at it and say, but it really isn't that important whenever we look at it from a higher perspective and see it's just a footnote in our total existence.
Yes. That can be very scary to think about, I would imagine, for some people.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And I think that's part of why the skydiving was necessary.
Oh.
I really think that was a turning point in my life and when Dick taught me to skydive, because without that, I don't know that I'd had the courage to do some of the things I've done or to think the things I've thought. And I think I needed to know that I could face fear and survive it.
Yes. Oh, that's a very interesting point. Very interesting. So tell us a little bit, Dan, Jerry, about your connection with the Southwest. And you have set your book in the Superstition Mountain, and this is where the desert meet happens. I mean, that's a very, like you said earlier, very mystical place, very mystical land. You know, we could talk about the metaphor of the desert journey. It's, I think, in different spiritual stories, you know, there's always been the desert journey kind of thing. So tell us about your experience and how the setting that is in your book, what that meant to you.
It really had a tremendous impact upon me. Superstition Mountain itself is about 40 miles east of Phoenix, mm-hmm. and the town of Apache Junction kind of nestles at its base. And Apache Junction is the place that had the ranch where I stayed. And when I first went out there, I immediately fell in love with it. I originally had been out in Arizona in the 70s right after I got out of the Army, but I thought it was too hot and too dry and too barren.
Mm-hmm.
And when I came back this time, it was totally different. And I think it was because I was totally different. And honestly, Juanita, it was like falling in love with an old friend.
Really?
Yes. And I just, every time I go back to Arizona, I feel like I've come home. And there's a sense of peace and sense of well-being that I feel out there. And I really think my writing is better out there than it is back here. Even though it's similar, I think there's a different energy. And
mm-hmm.
all things have energy, all things. And when I'm there at the foot of that mountain, there's, I think, a stronger force that helps push me that way. And Superstition Mountain itself is kind of unique. If you see it, it has a number of spires or spikes on top. And from a distance, it looks like there's a number of people or spirits that are standing on top of it looking down.
Yeah.
And the Pima Indians in the 1800s, when they saw that, thought that's what it was, the spirits looking down on them, and they were afraid to go to the mountain.
Mm-hmm.
And hence the name Superstition Mountain.
Mm.
So even that mystical quality, I think, helps with what I was trying to say in my book. So even though I could have written it in Illinois, I think it adds a little bit more of a mystical flavor or quality to the overall book.
Have you explored any past lives that you may have had that would have put you in that area?
I've had a number of past lives as an American Indian, and to this point, no, I haven't really explored any that just put me specifically in there, but I spent a lot of time in the Southwest.
Yeah.
And one of the things that's really interesting is you'll ride through the desert and there will be saguaro cactuses that are 250 years old.
Yes.
And you think, I wonder if Geronimo walked through here. I wonder if the Earps came through here. I wonder about Cochise. And it's just real easy to get lost into who's been here and what did they think and how did they feel when they passed through this place.
It's a magical area. I've been in the area that you're talking about and then south into the Chiricahuas. And it's like you are in a different world when you are there. So very interesting place. Mm-hmm. So when can we expect the second book coming out?
Well, I'm deep into the editing process of number two, and I really hope to have Return to the Desert out sometime by middle to late fall.
Mm-hmm.
And then it'll probably take another year and a half or 2 years before Beyond the Desert will be written.
So is that, I'm wondering about Beyond the Desert because that sounds like it's still in process. So I wonder if there's an end to the journey of self-discovery or we're going to have to wait until book three to find out.
In fact, one person has even made a suggestion for book number four. But
oh my.
I think... The jumping off point will be I've completed what I need to say about this specific type of a message that I'm writing about. And I may write another one about something similar, but not specifically the search with relationships and how relationships tie with our desire to seek spirituality. But I will also say Return to the Desert will challenge some people's thinking. There's some things that I say in there that probably will seem a little edgy and may not fall on receptive ears when they first hear it. But again, sometimes that has to happen for people to grow.
Yes, yeah, absolutely. Oh, sounds intriguing, Jerry.
Very, thank you, Anita.
Very intriguing. So your website is www.creatingthebest.com. And I just love that tagline. You have it up on your web pages as well. So tell us what creating the best means and if you tie that in at all with the Desert Journey or trilogy or if it's kind of a separate theme.
Actually, it's all the same.
Yeah.
Because I think that's our purpose in life is to be the best us that we can be. But, you know, the beauty of it is, and again, this is part of, I think, for me, the symmetry of believing in past lives. But the analogy I would make is we're all in the seventh grade. And, you know, we have lessons and criteria that we have to learn to graduate and go on to the eighth grade. And if we learn them, fine. If we don't, well, we may have to repeat part of it. But eventually, we will learn these lessons that we need to move on to higher understandings and higher existences. And hopefully people will be able to look at my webpage and get some ideas of what they can do to make the very, very most out of this lifetime. Instead of just struggling to get through it, just passing through it and going, okay, I worked to retirement and, you know, I did what I had to do to earn money and to raise children. But I missed the whole lesson of why was I here in the first place? And so hopefully it'll inspire some people to look at other possibilities of why are you here? What is your purpose of being on this planet for this lifetime?
How fascinating. So taking that and applying it to you, where is your future going? What are you going to be doing maybe 5-10 years from now? Any ideas?
that's a good question. Ideally, what I would like to do is I'd like to continue to write because I like to write, but I also like to teach. That's one of the things that I did when I worked as a forensic psychologist. I enjoy teaching, so I would eventually like to be able to do seminars where bring people in and talk and share ideas and help all of us reach for greater understanding and more knowledge of the purpose of this wonderful existence that we're living.
How interesting. You are very, very fascinating. I can't wait till your second book comes out. I hope we can have you on the program to
talk a little further
into what you're exploring in book two.
Yeah.
Yeah. So our time is coming to an end here, Jerry, and I just wanted to let you have the last few moments to share any final thoughts you'd like to with listeners.
Well, it's a wonderful journey. Let's just make the most of it, and let's be the person that we, the best person we possibly can in this existence. And I hope if you read my book, that it will help you understand your place in life, and if nothing else, challenge you to grow.
Mm, wonderful. Thanks so much, Jerry. It's been wonderful talking with you. All the best to you, and let's talk again soon.
Yes, thank you very much, Wani. I really appreciate the opportunity to talk about this.
Yes, yes. You are definitely an inspiration, and, you know, it does take much courage to talk about these things and put a book out like this. So we just thank you for that.
Thank you, Juanita.
Okay, take care.
You too.
All right, listeners, I've been talking with Dr. Jerry Bergner. His novel, Desert Journey, is out now. Sounds like book two will be coming out probably within the next year, so you can keep an eye out for that one as well. But Desert Journey, this is a very, very interesting book that will most definitely challenge you in some way, so check it out. You can find out more about Jerry and his book at creatingthebest.com, and as well, I believe, that Desert Journey can be purchased through online bookstores and through your local bookseller. So thank you once again for listening to Inside Scoop Live. I'm Juanita Watson, and until next time.